Would you open the precious word of God tonight to the book of 1 Corinthians? And I want to say to all of the nursery workers, if you were back there this morning, God bless your heart. And I know nobody out here thought I preached too long. But I know they did. Because anything over 20 minutes is too long with 18 children. But God bless you. And I appreciate the spirit and attitude of our church. Don't you? I'm glad to be a part of this church. I really am. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. I've been doing a lot of review. I'm not going to do a lot of review tonight. We've looked at these three classifications that I believe all human beings are in: the unnatural man, the carnal man, and the spiritual person. And we find that just clearly outlined in the Word of God here in this passage of Scripture. So this morning, we really dealt with the spiritual man. Verse 2, chapter 2, verse 15, but he that is spiritual. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 15, but he that is spiritual judgeth all things, yet he himself is judged of no man. For who hath known the mind of the Lord? The spiritual person does. That he may instruct him, but we have the mind of Christ. Now, we're going to continue to deal with the spiritual man here. And we took two big jumps. I highlighted two great spiritual changes which are possible for all people. One is to, if someone's lost and they get saved, they get born again, the Spirit of God indwells them. That's a huge jump, huge change from being lost to a saved person. But I want to say to you, I believe just as important for a Christian is to jump from being a carnal Christian to being a spiritual one. I think it is just a dynamic change that needs to take place in every Christian's life. Now, I'm going to make this statement. We're going to look at this because we're going to deal with the ministry of the filling of the Holy Spirit of God. I'm going to look at the ministries of the Holy Spirit tonight in an overview, because I don't want you to be confused about the ministry of the filling of the Spirit of God. It's going to be very important. But I want to make a statement. As a Christian, you can be carnal 1 minute, and 30 seconds later, you can be spiritual. You understand me? Because this classification has to do with how you and I receive and understand and yield to God's truth. It's how we respond and yield to the Spirit of God. So for instance, if I am, God is working in my heart and speaking to my heart, the Spirit of God is convicting me over something, and I bow and stiff up my neck. And I say, no, Lord. No, Lord. Or I rationalize it away, or I excuse it away, or we talk about grieving the Spirit of God. We're going to talk about all of this. But at that moment, because if you look in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, the instruction to this church was, look, he said, ye are carnal. Why are you carnal? Because he said, you're not responding to the truth. But here's the question. They could be. That's why preaching and teaching and sharing God's word, at any moment, God can take that word and penetrate the heart of a person, and immediately they understand the conviction of God and they repent of that sin and adjust to that truth. Does it take you or I to go through the deepest, darkest storms to adjust to that truth? No. We should adjust to that truth the moment we hear it. So when we think about this in chapter 3, he says, for ye are yet carnal, for whereas there is among you envying and strife and divisions, are ye not carnal and walk as men? So he knew they were fighting there at that church. They were jealous of each other. They had divisions. They was fighting. They had little cliques. They were saying, I'm of Apollos. But you know, as Paul was writing this under the inspiration of God, He wanted immediate change, and immediate change could have taken place the minute they read verse 9. For we are laborers together with God. Ye are God's husbandry. You are God's building. In other words, why are you fighting the people? You are on the same team. And at that moment, conviction could have came in. The Spirit of God could have illuminated that truth to somebody that was causing trouble and say, I'm ceasing fire. God help me. Will you forgive me? Will you forgive me? Will you help me, God? I want to do better. You know what? That's becoming spiritual. It's yielding to the Spirit of God. Now, when we look at this, a Christian becomes a Christian because he is rightly related to Christ as his Savior. When you get saved, you become rightly related. You become a child of God. So you're no longer in enmity with God. When you trust Christ as your Savior, you're in the right relative with Him. You are relating to Him properly. And so therefore, you are saved when you get related rightfully to Christ as our Savior. But he that is spiritual because, listen to me now, he is rightly related to the Holy Spirit of God. I want you to get a hold of that. See, you get saved when you get rightly related to the Son of God. When you have the convicting power of the Holy Spirit of God and you realize you're convicted of your sin and you trust Christ as your Savior, you repent. See, now you're in right relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. So therefore, you become a child of God. But you become a spiritual person when you rightly relate to the Spirit of God. When you adjust your spirit. So in other words, here's great hope. Let's say that you could meet the most rotten scoundrel. You could meet the most negative, most divisive, the most grouchy Christian you've ever met in your life. You say, man, they're grouchy. They can come to a church service and the Spirit of God can touch something in their life. And the reason they've been divisive, the reason they've been grouchy is they've not been in the right relationship with Jesus Christ, but His Word penetrates their heart. And all of a sudden, maybe not even a trip to the altar, maybe it's just a prayer back there in their pew, and they get rightly related to the Spirit. Guess what? That old scoundrel will change immediately. He'll quit saying, well, what's so-and-so doing, and this is what so-and-so's done, and this is what so-and-so's done. See, here's the problem with carnal Christianity. They're always looking for somebody else to lay the blame on. Can I help everybody here? I've learned, I'm 47 soon, I've been married a long time. Someone said, Pastor, you're horrible with numbers. Horrible. Someone said the other day, he said, you had Kaylee 4 years old when y'all got married. I said, it don't surprise me. But I think about, and help me, because I run that rabbit and I don't want to get lost. Oh, I'm almost 47, and here's the thing, and I'm not being ugly, I'm just being honest. I've been in this thing a long time. I have met with hundreds of people, hundreds. I wouldn't even know how to tell you. Some preachers keep logs of everything, of every funeral, every wedding, all that. I've never done it. I probably should have. It'd be interesting. How many sermons have I preached? Think about it. I mean, can you imagine in 25 years how many messages I've preached? For y'all, too many, right? I can clarify whether someone's spiritual or not in a counseling session with one thing. If a couple comes in, or either he or she blames all the problems on one or the other, I know right then I'm dealing with an unspiritual person. How many of you ever heard the little phrase, it's a human phrase, takes two to tango? Look at me. Takes two to tango. Now, a lot of times in a messed up relationship, there's a definite, obvious sin. It's usually always seen. It's visible. And people want to run that arm of that sin. But what most people never want to do is they want to get down to the nitty-gritty of where there's not been any prevention to keep that from happening. So everybody wants to talk about the fault. Everybody wants to talk about the sin, but nobody wants to talk about prevention. But a spiritual person realizing that at any moment, if someone is taken in fault, restoring such as a spirit of meekness. Why? Lest ye also be tempted. See, a spiritual person always understands, you know what? It could be me. And by the way, sometimes and a lot of times it is me. Brother Dallas Payton is a wise man. He called me the other day and we were just talking. He said, and this was wise. I want you to welcome to my world. And I think this will help you a little bit. These are the kind of people that I get to sharpen my axe with. I mean, my iron is sharpened with people like this. And he said to me, he said, Brother Mark, you know, I meet with people all the time. He said, I'm sitting there in that chair and I know they're wrong. But here's what he said to me. But he said, even though I'm sitting there knowing they're wrong, I'm sitting there examining my heart as I'm counseling those people, knowing they're wrong, saying, Lord, help me not to take my haughtiness that I know she's wrong and not learn something from this session. That's wise. Now, what's Brother Dallas? Brother Dallas has been pastoring longer than I have. He's a wise man, no doubt about it. We love him being a part of our marriage council. But what was he saying to me? I love that because here's why. He was letting me know. He said, you know what? I know that I was in the right, and I know I was there trying to help her. But he said at the same time, here's what he said, I know my flesh. See, a carnal person is not interested in truth. A carnal person is interested in excuses. But here's what saddens me. In this passage of 1 Corinthians chapter 3, if they did not adjust to the Holy Spirit of God, and we know that the church at Corinth had some problems, but here's what's sad about people that are carnal. They're always having broken relationships, fights, divisions. I've learned something. Until they get rightly related with the Holy Spirit of God, Brother Sexton, they have a trend and a lifelong of divisions and broken relationships in their life. Just because they change people doesn't matter, because the problem sometimes, not always the other one, a lot of times the problem is moi. And until we recognize that we could be a problem, that problem will continue to keep in everything we do. But when the Spirit of God touches it, and I know it, and He knows it, the games need to quit being played and say, Lord, it's me, I'm guilty, will you please help me? And then I need to be spiritual enough to go to the person that I have wronged and say, I'm sorry, will you please forgive me? It's amazing what that does in restoring divisions and envy and strife. But carnal people will never do it. You know why? They love the drama. They love it. They love stirring it up. They like shaking it up. They like throwing out all these ambiguous posts and texts and statements. They love it. And by the way, I'm just going to be honest with you, that's helped me, because now I realize a lot of times when we deal with people, that's what we're dealing with. We're dealing with carnal. You say, well, Pastor, why don't you get frustrated? Oh, I do. But you say, Pastor, why don't you quit? Because I know at any moment we have the X factor. The Holy Spirit of God at any moment can speak to those people's heart and they can get rightly adjusted. That's my hope. That's what keeps me going, church. Because I've seen it done. You know where I've seen that done? Guilty, right here. I know the power that He has. I know the convicting power that He has. And so I'm so very thankful. I want you to notice, a Christian becomes a Christian because he's rightly related to Christ, his Savior. But he that is spiritual because he is rightly related to the Holy Spirit that indwells him, in addition to being in the right relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. So now to discover the realities, because that's what we want, right? The realities, these revealed conditions of this blessed life of being spiritual, we must understand the ministries of the Holy Spirit. Because when you got saved, the minister that is going to make these changes and reveal these truths to you, God has not played hide and seek. He says to us, they are revealed to us by the Holy Spirit. So if you're saved tonight, would you say amen? You have the Holy Spirit indwells you. It's not some mystical thing. It's not some mystic, ooh. No. He indwells you. And I want you to notice that I'm going to give these few ministries, but then after I get through number 5, when I get to 6, to the fulfilling of the Holy Spirit of God, the rest of this series is going to be dealing with that subject, to be filled with the Spirit of God. Because there's no way ye which are spiritual without being filled with the Spirit. I'm going to define it. We're going to describe it. We're going to look at what it produces. And we're going to take all this from the Word of God. And I'm telling you what, God has helped me so much in this. And I hope and pray that I can deliver it in a way that will help you. Quickly, number one, the ministries of the Holy Spirit of God. Because I don't want any confusion with the other operations of the Spirit of God. Number one, He reproves the world of sin, righteousness, and judgment. He reproves the world of sin, righteousness, and judgment. Now, I want to turn to some passage of Scripture tonight. I want you to turn to the Gospel of John, chapter 16, and I want to read those verses to you because I want you to understand this ministry of the Holy Spirit of God. It's important that we understand. John chapter 16, verses 8 through 11. Here's what the Bible says. And when He has come, the Holy Spirit, He will reprove the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. Of sin because they believe not on me. That's the sin. The sin to be lost and never to be saved is just the sin of not believing on Christ. But the natural man has no use for Christ. So something has to happen in that man's heart to make him realize that he needs Jesus. Who does that? The Holy Spirit does. He reproves of sin. He is the one that revealed to me that I needed a Savior. If you got saved, it's because the Holy Spirit of God, He reproved you of your sin. So He reproves of sin. He reproves, the Bible says, of judgment because, verse 11, because the prince of this world is judged. Then the Bible says, I have yet many things, verse 12, to say unto you, but ye cannot bear them now. Why? Because they didn't have the Spirit of God yet. Notice this. Howbeit, when He, the Spirit of truth, is come, He will guide you into all the truth. For He shall not speak of Himself, but whatsoever He shall bear here, that shall He speak, and He will show you things to come. He shall glorify Me. For He shall receive of Mine and shall show it unto you. Think of this now. The Spirit illuminates the sinner. He illuminates. He makes the sin of not believing in Jesus. He's the one that reproves you and teaches you and shows you that Jesus Christ is the way. Look here. You're not going to get saved without the reproving of the Holy Spirit of God. You'll never get saved. The thing that scares me the most when people say, well, I ain't a sinner. Oh, no, they're a sinner. But who illuminates that to them? The Holy Spirit. So this ministry is so very important. And He illuminates that the sinner can become righteous if he believes the gospel. Simple repentance and faith in Christ for salvation. Who teaches us that? The Holy Spirit of God. It's amazing. I can think of a young lady right now. She started attending this church. And I remember the first time I think that she heard the gospel was as a funeral. I can still see her face. She was at this funeral. She was listening to the message. At the end of the message, I gave an invitation. She raised her hand at the funeral. I gave her an opportunity to respond after the interview. She didn't talk to me. She started coming to church. She started attending the services. At every invitation, she raised her hand. She knew she was lost. She said, I know I'm not saved. She never did come forward, but she kept raising her hand. And I'm going to tell you what was taking place. The Holy Spirit of God was working in her heart. He was working in her heart, and He was illuminating to her that she was saved. Finally, she couldn't take it anymore. After about the third, fourth time, next thing you know, down the aisle she comes. She said, oh, I got to get saved. I can't take it no more. What was she saying? The Holy Spirit of God was rebuking her and reproving her and illuminating to her that she needed a Savior. And aren't you glad for the Holy Spirit reproving you, telling you, and showing you, and guiding you that you needed to be saved? It's one of the ministries of the Holy Spirit. You cannot take it away from Him, church. It's a must. It's vital. And it's clearly scriptural. So we understand that He illuminates the sinner of his unbelief. Unbelief is a sin. That sin of unbelief, not trusting Christ, will send people to hell. Simply for not believing Christ, and the Holy Spirit illuminates that to the sinner. Number two, I'm going to hurry now. Regeneration. the ministry of regeneration. Look at John chapter 3, verse 6. If you don't, you write it down. You can look at it later, but for the sake of time, I'll read it. John 3, 6. That which is born of the flesh is flesh. And that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. In other words, July the 24th, 1974, Mark Branham was born in the flesh. Aren't y'all thankful? I don't even have a birthmark. I appreciate the one. Amen. Thank you, Brother Jim. I know everybody else does, but y'all want to get this sermon done. Right there, y'all can say something. I don't even have a birthmark, but I'm here. I have a birth certificate. I was born in the flesh. But you know what? Just because I was born in the flesh means I have to be born of the Spirit. And the Holy Spirit of God is the one that regenerates us, born of the Spirit. We become a child of God at salvation and never needs to be repeated. The sinner has become partakers of the divine nature. Who does that for us? The Holy Spirit. He regenerates us. We're born from above. That was born of the flesh. I was born to Pat and Dolores Brand in 1974, but I was born of the Spirit of God. He regenerated me, making me a new man in Christ. Amen. The Holy Spirit does that. Number three, the indwelling of the believer. That's a ministry. He indwells the believer. The Bible says he abideth in us by the Spirit. Would you turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 6? 1 Corinthians chapter 6. 1 Corinthians chapter 6 is a beautiful passage of Scripture. The Bible teaches us that he indwells us. Notice what the Bible uses the language here. I love the language. Verse 19. What? With a question mark. What? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost which is in you? Which ye have of God, and ye are not your own. What? Listen, here's the kind of Christianity we're pushing today. Oh, just do anything you want to do with your body. What? What? Do you not know that you're the temple of the living God? The Holy Spirit of God indwells you? Then he goes far to say this, you're not your own. What? So here's the question. Who owns me? I'll tell you right now, nobody's going to tell me what to do. Well, wait a minute. You don't own yourself. If you're saved, you're owned. You are indwelled by the Spirit of God. Look, if you tell people you're a Christian, they ought to think you look like a Christian, you talk like a Christian, you act like a Christian, you love like a Christian. What? Know ye not that your body is a temple of the Holy Ghost? He indwells you. Can you imagine if I go somewhere or look at something on the internet that I shouldn't be looking at? What? Do you not know that you're dragging the Holy Spirit with you? When you go and do things that you know that the world not know, if someone would see you as a Christian, you lose your testimony. Even stronger than that. What? Don't you know that the Holy Spirit of God indwells your body? Is that what the Lord would do? That's a powerful ministry of the Holy Spirit. He indwells us. He is with me. He abides in me. And by the way, I know he's there too. How many of y'all know he's there? By the way, that means sometimes it's sweet, but sometimes that means it ain't sweet. I'm going to tell y'all right now, conviction ain't fun. I'm telling you right now, conviction is tough stuff till you get it right. But he indwells. Number four, he baptizes. The ministry of baptism, baptizing. Now, this is related to the day of Pentecost. Now, I'm not going to spend a lot of time here because I've already preached a whole message on this thought. When I dealt with the day of Pentecost, we talked about the initial baptizing of the Spirit of God is talking about the initial revealing and the gift of being given the Holy Spirit of God on Acts chapter 2. Now, I know a lot of people use that, and it's dealing, though, with the initial giving of the Holy Spirit. I've spent a whole message on this for the sake of time. You can go back and listen to the message on Pentecost, but we understand there's a lot of false teaching about this today. But he does baptize. But now I want you to look at number five, and here's another ministry that I think is important. And again, you can look up if the day of Pentecost. I preached a whole series on Wednesdays. If you want to learn about just, there's two or three messages on Pentecost. One of them, I can't remember exactly which one, but I dealt with that extensively about being baptized with the Holy Spirit of God. Number five, he has a ministry of sealing the believer. Sealing, S-E-A-L-I-N-G, Ephesians 4:30. He seals the people of God. Ephesians 4:30 says this, "And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed unto the day of redemption." You say, "Pastor, what's that mean?" He is the seal. The Holy Spirit is the seal. And when? Until the day of redemption. Until the day that we are up out of here and no longer are living in this world. The day of redemption, the Bible says we are sealed. Nothing will pluck us. Why? Because he is the seal. He seals us. He's sealed. You say, "Pastor, are you living good enough?" No, but I'll tell you right now, I have the seal of the Holy Spirit of God, and that seal will not be broken. He seals. So away with this. If you dare what you lose your salvation. Well, what do you do? Lose the Holy Spirit every time you sin? No, he's our seal. He seals us. Now, how many of y'all do canning? Y'all can? Raise your hand. They're hard to find right now, aren't they? I got some now. Somebody say, "Man, got some of them canning jars." But you ever watch them things seal? You know, bop, they pop, right? Sealed. You try to pull one of them things out of the cellar, it's been sealed 40 years ago. Y'all, come on now. Hey, you know. And I was like, "Here, honey." She goes, "Pop." I loosened it up. You know, you got to get one of them rubber things. You know, you're like, "Yeah." You know, and, you know, them old timers. Whack, 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 whack. I'll tell you how my dad would do it. You know, we wanted him to do his thing. He just took a hammer. Whack. It's open now. Let me help y'all something. If a 40-year-old canned jar of stewed tomatoes, you can't get that thing open, trust me, when Jesus says, "I'm going to seal you with a seal," it ain't getting popped. So away with this idea. I'm so sick of people being ignorant to the eternal security of the believer. Bible teaches it. I'm not going to question it. I'm going to trust it. And this ministry of the sealing is very, very important. Now, notice four of these five ministries of the Holy Spirit for the believer is wrought at the very moment you get saved. Four out of the five. Four out of the five. You're regenerated. He indwells you. He baptizes you. And he seals you. Aren't you thankful for the ministry of the Holy Spirit? So we say that we, holy, 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 Lord God Almighty. Why do we say holy, holy, holy? Because the Holy Spirit is just as much of God as Jesus Christ and the Father is. And if anyone has a struggle with that, say, "Well, how in the world can one person be three?" Do you know you're three? You're three in one. You have a body, you have a soul, and you have a spirit. Your body is what relates to the environment around you. You have senses in that body. You have a soul. That's what relates to people. That's why you cry. That's why you laugh. You have a soul. You relate to the people around you. But then you have a spirit. Check it in Scripture. You'll always see that classification of a human being. Body, soul, spirit. The spirit is what relates to God. The spiritual part of a man. So you're three in one. So someone says, "I don't know how in the world you can have a three in one." Well, you're a three in one. Teach them that. Now I want you to notice this last ministry, and I'm going to close here, is the ministry of the filling of the Spirit of God. Now the rest of this series, and I don't know how long we're going to be on it, will be dealing with this subject. filling of the Holy Spirit of God. You say, Pastor, give the reason, give the summary. Well, because ye which are spiritual has to understand what it means and to desire to be filled with the Spirit of God. It happens over and over and over again. The Bible teaches that there are two classes of Christians. Those who abide in Christ and those who abide not. Those who walk in the Spirit and those who walk as men. Those who walk in newness of life and those who walk after the flesh. Those who have the Spirit in them and upon them versus the person that has the Spirit in them but not upon them. There's a difference. Someone might say, well, boy, I'll tell you what, I'm glad I have the Spirit in me. Well, I'm glad He's in you, but I want Him to get upon you too. Because when we start talking about the Spirit gets upon you, then that's a totally different layer of the Christian life. You've just become spiritual and filled with the Spirit of God. Those who are spiritual and those who are carnal, all of this has to do with the quality of your daily life that you choose to live. Why was this church a rough one? Why did it have a bunch of divisions and fighting in it? Why does one marriage have a bunch of fight and division and struggle in it, and why does another one don't? I tell you why. No. Anything that you say other than it being a spiritual issue, is wrong. Why can some people that are as poor as dirt can be as happy as can be, and people that have all the wealth in the world, they got more drama in their life than you can shake a stick at? What's the difference? Some people have this idea, well, I'll tell you what, they never fight because they don't have anything to fight about. Really? You put a man and a woman of any culture in a room together for long, look at me. There's going to be plenty of differences. I mean, look here, God done told us before He even got married, before He even tells us about getting married, He said, I'm giving you a woman that ain't nothing like you. You are totally different. A woman is like fine china. When the Bible calls a woman a weaker vessel, that don't mean, because most women I know is tougher than us. Mentally, and I say most, I'm not going to say all, but most women are tougher than me mentally. They might not be tougher physically. The Bible says they're a weaker vessel. But look here, it's not because, oh, I'll tell you what, them women, they're a second rate. No. That's not what the Bible says. The Bible says they're a weaker vessel. In other words, y'all ever seen the little teacups? Little dainty things. But if you pour coffee in them or tea in them, you know what? They hold it. Then you can get one of them old mugs. You know, them big old coffee mugs, they got dents all over it. You can grab them things and pour it. You know what? They're going to hold the liquid too. But that's my best way of analogy of a woman and a man, and that's my wife. She gave me that. And so some of us men, here's what we're trying to do. We're trying to treat that dainty little cup like she's a rough old coffee mug. It's got stains all over it. And then we wonder, well, I just don't know why she got mad. Well, maybe it's because you talked to her like that. She's over there crying. You're going, I don't know why she's crying. Well, because God done told you that's why. She is different than you. So for someone to say, well, I'll tell you what, I just don't know how they can get along. They just ain't got nothing to fight about. If a man and woman is in the same house, there's plenty to fight about. And by the way, troubles hit every couple. Problems hit every couple. So it's not the fact, well, they got all the money in the world. They don't have any problems. No, look at me. They got problems. But why did that church have all this division and envying in it? I'm going to tell you why. Church, listen to me now. It was a spiritual issue. They we play games like that and everything. We want to make reasons. We want to make the reasons everything physical. No, the reason this church was in trouble and needed this message is because they were carnal. They wanted to fight and argue. They wanted to have cliques. They wanted to blame it on everybody else. They wasn't yielding to the Spirit of God. And so here's how I close. Be rightly adjusted to the Spirit of God. Just be honest. You don't have to be honest to me. You don't have to be honest to me. But I'm going to tell you right now, if you will let the Holy Spirit just say, yes, Lord, just yield to Him. Say, Lord, help me. I'm going to read Your Word today, and whether even if it cuts, even if it bothers me, even if I don't like it, I'm going to say yes to You. Try it. That's the difference. See, here, we don't like it. I don't like it. That don't make me feel good. Doesn't say anything about it. I know initially, you know, I like to win a fight. Y'all like winning fights. I mean, last time my wife and I got in an argument, praise God I had her in her hands and knees. She crawled up underneath that bed and said, come out here and fight like a man. I mean, look, if you know me and my family smirking right now, I got to get the last word. But look at me. Sometimes it ain't worth getting the last word. Just shut up and yield to the Spirit of God. Let Him take care of it. Say, Lord, help me. Help me. See, sometimes people think Christians are weak because they don't say nothing. No, I think Christians are weak when they just yield to the Spirit. Let's be spiritual. We're going to keep looking at being filled. And by the way, you don't need more of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit needs more of you.